In Luke chapter 9, verse 35, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." This is the Feast of the Transfiguration, as I pointed out to some folks on Friday. It's one of the feasts that we get twice a year, the last Sunday after Epiphany and August 6th. And just so happens that August 6th falls on a Sunday this year, so we get it today. But the Feast of the Transfiguration causes consternation with many commentators. They don't really know what to do with it. Jesus goes up on a mountain. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. He's transfigured. He becomes dazzling white in front of them. And Moses and Elijah show up, and a cloud comes down on top of them, and a voice comes out of the cloud and says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." What do you do with all that? And so a lot of the commentators try and dismiss it one way or another. They'll say, "Oh, well, it's a resurrection story that's been transplanted back into the center of the gospel." Or it was a dream sequence that the disciples had, and they all talked about it after the fact. And then after the ascension, they told it to people, and that's how it got included in the gospel. Or, you know, they were out in the desert. They had an experience in prayer, and this is just a distortion of what actually happened out there. Okay. The reality, no matter what you want to do with it, the reality is that it is a revelation of who Jesus is. It is a proclamation that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law as manifested in Moses and the prophets as manifested in Elijah, and the admonition that listening to Jesus takes precedence over the law and the prophets. Jesus didn't come to replace the law and the prophets. It says, Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "I did not come to get rid of it, but to fulfill the law and the prophets." You know, often our preaching here, Father Chris and Father David and me, has been pretty practical for the most part. I mean, there's a lot of relationship kind of stuff, you know. Anyway, but we teach you how to listen to Jesus. But what's interesting is in the Transfiguration, in this story, we have a revelation of why we must listen to Jesus. Okay? The story of the Transfiguration appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. It's not something you can just dismiss. And as I said, we have it twice a year in the liturgical calendar. It's not something you want to just pass over. But it's got an interesting message to it. And when describing the change that happened to Jesus up on the Holy Mountain, both Matthew and Mark use the Greek term metamorpho. Now, you all know what that is, right? Metamorphosis. Yes, very good. All right. Think about it. Metamorphosis. A caterpillar makes a cocoon, goes into this cocoon, and after a period of time comes out as a completely different creature, as a butterfly. It's still the same creature. It's just the manifestation of that creature is very different now. Or a little tadpole looks just like a fish, has gills, swims underwater, but after a while, legs begin to form, gills begin to disappear, comes out, its front legs, comes out onto the ground, soon the tail disappears, and what have you got? A frog. That's metamorphosis, okay? But Luke uses a different term. Luke uses the term hetero, okay, which means to be made different or to change. think about different words in English that use hetero. I was going over some of these with Father David before the service. You got heterogeneous. You've got a substance that can be water or ice or steam. It's the same substance. It's just manifested in different forms. Or heterochromia. Everybody knows what heterochromia is, right? Two eyes, different color. Okay? The best example, I was telling Father David, the best example of heterochromia is Max Scherzer. If you don't know who Max Scherzer is, he's a pitcher who just got traded to the Texas Rangers. So if you get an opportunity, Google the image of Max Scherzer. Yes?
David Bowie.
There's a lot of Mila Kunis. There's a lot of people. Bruce Bochy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people. Actually, 1 in 500 people, believe it or not, 1 in 500 people have heterochromia. Okay? But Max Scherzer is so dramatic because he's got a deep, dark brown eye on the left and a bright blue eye on the right. And it's startling when you first look at him, okay? But different, okay? He's made different. And, of course, there's the ever-popular heterosexual. Vive la différence, okay? Anyway, all right. But maybe Luke didn't want to confuse his readers, all right? He had traveled with Paul. He had heard Paul teaching about metamorpho, okay? And Paul had taught that we must be transformed, okay? We must become new creation, all right? Paul had taught all this, and we'll see how Paul uses this term later in the sermon, okay? But the gospel shows that it was Jesus who was transfigured, but he was transfigured outwardly. It was his appearance that was altered, all right? And Paul says that we are to be transformed inwardly. And so Luke didn't want to use that term, metamorpho, in talking about what happened to Jesus on the mountain because he didn't want it to be confusing. Praise the Lord. In Paul's letters, the idea of transformation refers to a process. It's not an instantaneous thing like it was on the mountain, okay? Paul is teaching that it's a process that takes place in each one of us as the Holy Spirit works in us. A progressive change is happening. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. We cannot make this change by our own effort, by any of our own activity, but we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to experience this transformation, okay? And it begins with listening. We must listen to Jesus. Now, mind you, you realize, of course, that on the mountain, that was the only command that God the Father gave to the three disciples on the holy mountain. This is my son, my chosen. Now, you need to do this, this, this. No. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. His word in us works that transformation. As we listen, we become more and more like him. This is not an isolated event. It's not a one-time happening. It is a process. As he speaks to us and as we listen to him, he changes our heart to one that beats with his heart. He changes our minds that we may have the mind of Christ. He changes our spirit that we may be so knit to the Holy Spirit as to become, as it were, indistinguishable from him. We become, as it were, in the image of Christ. Now, this teaching of Paul's must have really resonated with Luke. And he saw in this that Jesus didn't need to be transformed. He's the Son of God. He was the Son of God then. He's the Son of God now. He doesn't need to be transformed. But it was his appearance that was heteron, that was changed, made different. But we, Paul says, and Luke affirms, we are the ones who need to be transformed and remade in the image of Christ. And so, again, this is where the listening comes in. There are lots and lots of voices in our daily living, lots of voices vying for our attention. And the voices that you listen to will change the way you think. The voices you listen to will affect your behavior. And the voice that you listen to, that message that that voice proclaims, will take root in your spirit and transform your being. And so the question is, to what or to whom are you listening? In the 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What we listen to informs our thoughts and our thought patterns. And these thoughts occupy our mind, and we become conformed to those teachings. Okay? Are you with me? And what we listen to begins to remake us in that image. In his second letter to Corinth, Paul says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another." Keeping our focus on him, beholding his glory, and listening to his word, we can be slowly transformed into his likeness. And again, Paul says it's a process. We go from one degree of glory to another. We will not be transformed into Christ-likeness by listening to the voices of this world. Paul warns us. He says that if you do listen to the voices of this world, you will become conformed to the image of the world, not the image of Christ. So, why listen to Jesus? To be transformed into his image. Let me give you three practical examples that are from my own life, okay? Example number one, to quote that famous female rocker, Joan Jett, I love rock and roll. I really do. I really enjoy rock music. In the late 1960s and the early 1970s, I put together a pretty impressive collection of vinyl of rock and roll music. Okay? I had everything imaginable. A lot of acid rock stuff, you know, Velvet Underground, 13th Floor under Elevators, Jefferson Airplane. But I also had, you know, The Who and Led Zeppelin and all that. I really liked rock and roll. Okay. I had other stuff like the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar. I had some other stuff. But I liked that hard rock, okay? And there's nothing inherently wrong with rock music, okay? But I was not discerning in regards to the lyrics. In about 1976, I was sitting there listening to Jefferson Airplane's second album, after bathing at Baxter's. And I listened to the first side, and I got up, flipped the record over, and the first words on the second side of that album are the most blasphemous words I have ever heard in my life. Now, I've listened to that record probably a couple of hundred times. But that night, when listening to that record and hearing that blasphemous word coming out of Paul Kantner's mouth, I suddenly realized, you don't need to be listening to this. You really ought not to be listening to this. So I packed up all my records, put them in boxes, took them and sold them all, and I gave the money to the church. What you listen to forms and transforms you. What are you listening to? Second example, I do not watch the news. In the late 1990s, Bishop Adler stated that he quit listening to the news, and he said, if it's important, you'll hear about it. And I took that as a challenge. And Brenda and I both, we quit watching the news. We do not watch network news. We do not watch local. We do not watch national news. And you know what? For 24 years, whatever it's been, I don't think I've missed anything. You know what? I knew when 9/11 happened. You do not watch the news, you're not going to be uninformed, because somebody will inform you, I promise. I tried it, and I've never gone back, and I never intend to go back. So many people tell me, but I need to know what's going on. Trust me, the news is not going to tell you what's actually happening. They will comment on what's they think is important and what they think you want to know or that you need to know in their mind, but you're not getting the whole picture by any stretch of the imagination. I had a dear, dear, sweet person come to me and tell me that, you know, I've listened to you tell me that over and over again, but I just can't go through life being uninformed, and I just need to listen to the local news before I go to sleep at night. And then she was complaining about how the news always leaves her depressed and discouraged. And I'm like, wonderful, you're going to bed depressed and discouraged every night. How's that working out for you? What you put into your mind is going to transform you into its image. Thirdly, I spend the first few hours, I can't tell you exactly because it varies from day to day, but I spend the first few hours of every day in prayer and meditation. The first thing I do after making a cup of coffee is go to my prayer station, wherever it may be, the gazebo, the living room, whatever it may be, depending on the weather. Do my morning office from the Liturgy of the Hours. Read the scriptures. Do meditation because I want to hear the voice of God speaking into my life. I do not want to start my day without that voice speaking into my life, because I sure don't want to be the one making the decisions of what needs to happen in that day without having the guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to hear clearly from Jesus to make my way in this confusing world. I wouldn't want to try it without it. The Transfiguration answers the question, why do we listen to Jesus? Why do we listen to Jesus? So that we may be transformed into his image, that we may have the power of his presence in our lives, moment by moment, day by day. As we listen to him, we begin to acquire the mind of Christ. We begin to learn to love what he loves. And we begin to see others as Jesus sees them. So why listen to him? That we may be transformed into his image. Amen.